So, 2 weeks ago, I recalled a little bit of what I preached 2 or 3 weeks before that, was about our attitude and our point of view is what we see. And then the week after that, I used that to talk about peace and peace of mind, which Corey had ministered on when we were at the College National Finals, and I borrowed part of his sermon to go with my sermon. And then Rusty, man, last week, whew, that was good. I was fired up about that in the way that he ministered last week. And so the Lord really put it on my heart that here at church, at Cowboy Church, we teach on the power of the tongue, right? That's one thing our pastor is, and anybody that's under our pastor is we know the importance and the power of our tongue, right? Proverbs tells us that there's death and life in this tongue. You can speak death and you can speak life. And I've told y'all the story about my great-granddad that lived to be 102 years old. And the day before he went to heaven, he told everybody, "I'm going to heaven tomorrow. If you want to say goodbye, say goodbye tonight." He wasn't sick. He was 102. They were trying to make him eat. He said, "I'm tired. I'm 102. I've been eating that long." He knew everybody when they said goodbye. And guess what, y'all? Monday morning, he wasn't with us on earth. See, that's how powerful your tongue is. Do y'all get that? Do you really realize? It's like we talked about speaking to things. That's one thing that Corey said in his sermon, and then I taught in my sermon, was that we have to get comfortable doing that. It can't be a once in a while thing. You see, it has to be something that we practice all the time. Do you choose to speak negative to it, or do you choose to speak positive to it? Do you say, "I've been trying to sell that thing for a year and it's still there"? Well, guess what? It's still going to be there until you start saying, "I call you sold." "I've been having this problem with my arm for a year and that sucker hurts all the time, and I guess it's just going to stay that way." No. You start calling it healed in Jesus' name, and that arm to line up with the Word of God. Start speaking to it and calling it what it's supposed to be, not what it is. Amen. Amen? Okay. So, if we're not speaking doom and gloom, one of the most powerful things that we can speak, besides the name of Jesus, is we can praise God. Amen. See, this is a point in time, what Rusty talked about and what we've been talking about. It's time to take that and what we've learned and start going, "You know what, God? I thank you for that. I praise you for that." In the Hebrew, praise. By the way, I've already skipped the title, but the title is "Praise Your Way Out of It." Amen. The word praise in the Hebrew, it means to revere, to worship, thankful, thanksgiving, laudation. I looked that word up in the Greek. It says a thank offering. And I love that, because when you make an offering, that's a sacrifice. When you're offering to the Lord, man, that's the sacrifice for us to offer. It's like our tithes and offerings. We're giving an offering. Well, when we give that praise to him, see, he doesn't need it from us, but he deserves it from us in the first thing. Because when we start thinking about the attributes of God and how great he is and how merciful he is, and he's our Savior, he gives us eternal life if we receive it, then there's things to praise about, y'all. I mean, we shouldn't be getting out of bed doom and gloom. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad things are. It's not that bad. But when you start praising, "Ooh, Jesus, Jesus." Y'all ready? I'm just getting warmed up. Dictionary says it's an act of accommodation or admiration. You know, here at Cowboy Church, Corey always uses this. And, you know, I've talked to people, because we've been here 8 years now. And I've heard people go, "Well, y'all always preach on, y'all use this verse, or y'all say this, or you say this." And Corey uses this a lot. But you know the reason that I learned being in the ministry, why? Because some of you still haven't got it yet. I don't mean that ugly, because I preach to myself. That's what Rusty says, and that's what Howdy says, and that's what Corey says. You don't get this because I'm going to explain as I go today how this is for me, and if y'all get something of it, good for you. And if you didn't, you weren't paying attention. I'm not kidding. I'm being honest this morning. It's time that you get a hold of this. Amen. Amen? And we have to do it. You see, Corey teaches about the Lord's Prayer, and we know that. And some of you are already ahead of me, and you know what I'm going to say. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever read the Bible, because it's good, it's real good. It talks about there will be continual praise in heaven. So if we're supposed, now y'all just go with me on this. If there's continual praise in heaven, and we're supposed to do here stuff on earth like is done in heaven, then shouldn't we be continually praising God all the time on earth? Amen. It shouldn't be when you have that miracle you've been praying for or that breakthrough that you've been praying for. It should be all the time. It should be morning, noon, and night. Some of you go, well, I work in an office and I can't. Well, you can praise under your breath. You know what? I praised in the Dollar General line yesterday, and I needed to. My wife sent me to town to get her something. Just trust me. Don't go to Dollar General in Burnet, Texas. Love them, sweet people, but they only have one purple. They only have one person working. When I walked in the door, I went, oh, there was a line of 15 people. So I go get what I need, thinking, oh, surely they'll get through. I come back, and the same guy's still there. And I'm standing there in line. And you see, I'm teaching and preaching on praise. And I wasn't mad. Trust me, I've got past those points of getting that way. I don't get that way. Used to, oh, my Lord, I'd have probably thrown that thing and left. You know, but I didn't. I stood there playing with it, and I'm on the phone, looking at my phone. But I'm not, I'm just standing there. And the Holy Spirit goes, you know, you're preaching on praise. Why aren't you praising instead of just standing here? You know what? I started praising standing in line at Dollar General. They'll look at you silly a little bit if they're close enough to hear you. I wasn't like, because you're not supposed to draw attention sometime to yourself. But I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. I was thinking Jesus, too, because the guy that was at line was having to put stuff back. I couldn't get up there to help him out. I didn't know what he was doing until after he left. I thought, because she was doing coupons for everybody. And then when I got up there, she said something about this. He had to put some stuff back because they didn't have enough money. See, what we do, though, is we thank the Lord that we can still pay for our stuff, too. Amen? You start praising. And if you can and you can help somebody, you help somebody. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. So we do stuff on earth as it is in heaven. Continual praise in heaven. You need to start. We need to start. I need to start. We need to start continually praising God every day, all day long. You can even praise Him at nighttime. When you're in a sleep, and I get up sometime to go to the restroom, and these scriptures start coming in my head. Well, I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. Okay. But the good thing is He lets me go back to sleep right away. I'm good, but I got those scriptures. It's like, thank you, Lord. Man, I love you. Y'all find 1 Thessalonians. Ah, Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Oh, He's so good. He's so good. 1 Thessalonians 5. I still hear pages turning. That's okay. Amen when you get there. Amen. Oh my, if you're still looking. Okay, I'll take that as a go. Okay, verse 16 in chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Wow, that's a toughie. 16. Rejoice evermore. In the Amplified, I like how it says it. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually always. continually, always. And in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. And in the Amplified, it says, be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Boy, that's a long word right there. Perseveringly. In verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here it's telling us to have an attitude of joy, an attitude of thanksgiving and praise always. Y'all listen to it in the Passion. Well, I had it in the right page to start with. It says, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a footnote in here that I thought was really interesting. It says, verse 16, to be joyous in every season. You see, when it's talking about every season, it's not just in that season of trial and tribulation. Be joyful all the time. Then it goes on to say, this note says, three areas our lives we must focus on: unbounded joy, praying continually, and giving thanks to God no matter what happens in our lives. These three, this is so cool, these three virtues combine to form the wonderful expression of Christ's life within us. You see, when we take those virtues and that's Jesus living in us. And we have to learn how to use that. Amen? Y'all go back one chapter to Colossians chapter 2. I love this. It says, verse 7, chapter 2. Colossians, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. You know, we were talking earlier about our tithes and offerings where He teaches us to profit. So here, our faith in Him is built up and established, and as we've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So here's something to note. That it says we abound therein with thanksgiving. If our faith is established like He teaches us and rooted, then we should be abounding in thanksgiving for that faith. Here's the opposite of that, though. If you look at that, if we're not abounding in thanksgiving, then guess what? Our faith is not abounding, y'all. Our faith is not bound. Our faith is unbound. Does that make sense? You see, if we're abounding and we're abounding in thanksgiving, then our faith is flourishing. But if we're not being thankful very often, then our faith has no bound. It goes like this. It's off the chart. Because our faith is everywhere. If you're not thanking God, because when you thank God for everything, it builds your faith up. It builds that faith that makes that faith. It says that you're established and rooted. That rooted, you know what that means. You plant a plant, the root grows down. That's where it's rooted. That's its foundation. So if we're rooted and established, our faith is, then we should be abounding in thanksgiving. Amen? You see, when bad things happen, and we can't blame God. I saw a deal on Facebook this week that really, I thought, I don't answer stuff on Facebook because I know better. Some of y'all need to learn. Not anybody in this room. I'm not saying that's for the people watching out there. The temptation is real. I really want to answer some of these people. But I saw a lady, and bless her heart, she meant well. I could tell her heart was right, but she said, some people just, we have to be, she said, I was broken so God could fix me. I was broken. Some people need to be broken. Some people need to be sick in order for God to fix them. That's hogwash. There's nowhere in this word, in this Bible, that says bad things come from God. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Amen? I don't get it. I don't get it. But that's the mentality of even Christians. Is that, oh, well, God, you know, He wants us beat up. No, He doesn't. He doesn't. In 1 Corinthians, it says that He doesn't put bad things on us, but sometimes bad things happen. Either the devil or we made a dumb decision. Hey, I'm talking to me. I don't know about y'all, but I've made some dumb decisions. It happens. Our fault. But 1 Corinthians says that He will not allow us to be tempted any more than any man can stand. But, and I love that word sometime, in this case, yes, but He will make a way out and enable us to endure that trial or tribulation. Amen? That's my God. How about yours? Is that your God? Amen. You see, we have to learn that we got to quit speaking that junk and start speaking the Word. The world has convinced that that's what God does. God causes cancer. No, He doesn't. And I rebuke that kind of talk. It's time that we praise God because He's got a way out of that cancer, or He's got a way out of that financial bind that you're in, or He's got a way out of whatever you're in. But when we learn to praise that, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We can't become bitter, y'all. We can't come, woe is me, woe is this, woe is that. We have to stand firm, established and rooted in our faith. See, what the devil likes to do, this is his game. The devil's game, his scheme is, he likes to throw something at you to get you off track so you start blaming God. Amen? And then, because once he can get you to start buying into that little crack, then his next lie is even easier. Well, why would you want to serve a God like him? That it'll allow this. We had a little deal at our house this morning. Not a good one. But we can find good in anything. This morning, my son-in-law, Chance, a lot of y'all know he's a roper. Well, he roped yesterday. Had the fastest time in the first round. Won money yesterday. Amen. Amen. Got up this morning and his horse is gone. Dead. Passed on. Yeah. Yeah. Now, so that's an attack of the devil because that doesn't come from God. Amen. And I do have his permission. I went down there when he went and checked on him, and he said, maybe you can work this in a sermon. Believe it or not, it works perfect in my sermon. The Holy Spirit's going, you use it. So, that's not God. The devil used that because he just got back into roping after 10 years of not roping. And that's something he's good at, and that's something he loves. And his kids are seeing it. It's so awesome. Found him a good horse, been winning, doing well on this horse. Won money yesterday. Came in late last night, put him in the pen, went out this morning, he's done. He's dead. It's kind of hard to put those two words together, isn't it? This is an opportunity for him to start going, God, what happened? Why? Well, we may never know why. The good part of this is, one of the praise things, you praise God, they had insurance on the horse. Amen. Amen. They had to find a vet to come look at it before things happen. Nobody wants to work on Sunday. They found a vet that's supposed to have already be there by now that had to, in order for the insurance to work. Praise God. That's a bad thing that horse is dead. That's like part of your family, you know? I mean, he hadn't had Shooter all that long, but Shooter was a good horse. Man, he roped. He roped. This is where the devil likes to play his game. So Chance could, and is not, because none of us are going to allow him to do it, but I know his foundation. If his foundation wasn't strong, he could be saying to himself, well, God, I guess you just didn't want me to rope anymore. You know, my horse is gone, and you know, I guess I'm just not supposed to rope anymore. No, that's not what it is. The devil's trying to get him off course because he's doing well in his roping. He's using a gift that God gave him, and he's succeeding at it, and people see Jesus in him when he's out roping. But the devil don't like that. The devil doesn't like that, so the devil starts using that kind of thing to get our heads off track. And then we start looking at God and going, God, why? God, I didn't do that. But you know what? The Bible says that what the devil steals, he has to be paid back 7 times. I love that. I love that, don't y'all? Because has the devil ever stole from you? Yeah, a lot. Start calling it in. Amen? Don't let the devil have place. The devil will try to use stuff just like that. This real world, folks. That happened this morning on our land. But how do you react? Do we go, oh, no. Well, that's it. It's done. It's over with. No, no, no. We go, you stinking devil. Laurie was binding the devil off of our property this morning while we were getting ready. She goes, devil, you are gone off this place. You are not allowed on this place in Jesus' name. And she pled the blood, and I agreed with her. When those attacks come against us, we got to know what to do. We got to start praising. Because as bad a deal as that is, it's still praise because there is good that will come from that. And we have to choose to receive that good from that instance. I don't know about y'all, but I would rather choose that than going, wow, I choose what God's going to bring out of that. Y'all listen, the real target for the devil is to destroy our faith in God. He just attacks each one of us differently. He finds whatever your weakness is or what you're excelling in, and he wants to mess it up. He finds out that that little thing in a relationship and the devil is doing this. Oh, let me wedge that further apart. Let me wedge that further apart. No, no, no. You go, I thank you, Lord, that my relationship, that my marriage is strong in Jesus' name. And that devil, you can go back to the pit of hell where you belong. Because you have no right to my family or me. And if we don't start praising him and we don't start speaking those praises and speaking over our situations, y'all, woe is me. I'm serious. I've seen it too much. But we've got to get fired up and praise God. Psalms 34. Oh, man, this is so good. I hope y'all are getting something out of it. Our God is so praiseworthy. Psalms 34. Okay, sorry. Coat's coming off. It's getting hot in here now. And I do know my pants are zipped up, so we're good. You got to be able to laugh at yourself, y'all. Come on. Psalms 34, verse 1. Said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I looked up that word magnify in the Hebrew, and it means to declare how good, how great our God is. That's what magnify means in the Hebrew. So it says, oh, declare how great the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Woo, Jesus. I quit there because I thought that's where I was going to quit in this section. But the Holy Spirit this morning said, no, let's read on a little further because I have something I want you to tell them. Verse 5 says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Oh, never be ashamed of the Lord. Amen. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Man, all we got to do, well, no, wait a minute, because this is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to show this morning. If we cry out to God, and cry out doesn't mean to whine and moan and complain. Now, if that's the way you do, that's fine, because God's still going to answer you. But it says to come boldly before the throne. Whining and moaning to me is not bold. Okay? So if we go boldly before the throne, and we're calling out to the Lord, He's going to save us. He's going to help us. He's going to get rid of our fears. But the Holy Spirit said, you got to receive it when He gives it to you. Oh, there ought to be. Wait, let me see. He said you have to receive it when He sends it to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit told me this morning, He said, it's kind of like that old joke. I told it one time. Everybody's heard it. It's about the man that it was flooding, and he was at his house, and they sent by a truck. He's knee-deep in the water, and he said, nope, God's got this. A little while later, it's up to his waist, and they send a boat by. Nope, God's got this. Gets on his house. Helicopter comes by. Said, come on, we'll save you. He said, nope, God's got this. He dies. Goes to heaven. He said, God, I waited on you. And God said, I sent you a truck, boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want? Come on, y'all, we have to get out of that. I used to be the same way. I understand. We have to understand how to receive what we're believing for. If we're not receiving it, if you don't receive it, guess what? You never get it. I know that sounds simple, but it is. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's very clear on that. So if we're asking for something, it says we should have it. But in order to have something, you have to receive it. Amen? See, isn't that good? Woo! I just love that. Hebrews 13 says that we must pray continuously. Thanksgiving, continuously. Go to Psalms 103. My Lord, He's so good. Golly. I might start running across the stage, Gary. You better get warmed up. He thinks I'm kidding. 103 Psalms. 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, wow, God's got benefits. Amen? Amen. Yes. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So, as I was studying this out, I always thought I knew what iniquities were. Kinda, but I didn't really know. So I looked it up in the Hebrew, because it was like the Holy Spirit was going, you need to find out what that word means. Because in my mind, iniquities is like, you know, the bad things and the things, my shortcomings or whatever. And so I think a lot of people think that iniquities is where we mess up. That wasn't really the case. Iniquity means twisted or distorted. So when you're talking about iniquities, it means the twisting or distorting of the law or the word. And the Holy Spirit said, so when we don't dig into a scripture that we don't understand, and we or people in the world twist that scripture like we were talking about earlier, He'll still forgive us of that. But we have to learn not to twist the word of God. We have to not distort the word of God. That's what I love about Cowboy Church. We don't distort the Word of God. We preach the Word of God that comes from, in my Bible, it's the King James. Just like Pastor Corey, and I got the parallel on the other side, the Amplified. Because as I'm just like him, these thousand thuses sometimes trip me up. It's good to have the Amplified so I can study. Amen. Let's go on. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's our healer. Amen. That's a benefit. Amen. who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things. He's talking about he provides for us. He provides food to eat. He provides our everything that we need, all our needs. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We don't have to be oppressed. We don't have to be depressed. We don't even have to be recessed in this time of recession. Because if we operate in the world, thank you, that was good. Wow. We don't even have to be in the recession, y'all. Because we operate in God's economy, not the world's economy. And we got to get a hold of this. I skipped part of number 5 because that's one of my favorites. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh my Lord, that's good. I wrote this down. So what it is David is saying, so, y'all listen to this because we all need this at times. So you are going to bless the Lord regardless of whether you feel like it or not. We can't wait till we feel like it. If we would begin our praises in the natural, they will soon end up in the spirit. Amen. You got to start. I don't feel like it. Then you'll never do it. You'll never feel like it. What happens when we praise? Oh, glad you ask. It's good. Number one, access to God. When we start praising, we open that access up to God. In Psalms 104, it tells us, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. When we're praising, that's what we're doing. It's a thank offering. And when we start praising God, you can start feeling that come on you. You can start feeling the anointing of God on you when you start thanking God. Amen. I needed that on Tuesday. Tuesday, I thought, you know what? I had a busy week. We had a couple, we're working on a few jobs, and we had to work Wednesday and Thursday, and then Laurie and I had something planned on Friday. And so I knew that I really had to devote a lot of time on Tuesday to get a lot of studying in. In theory, that sounded really good. So I get up and we start going and the phone rings. And then a little while later, we have company show up. And then I love my grandkids. And I started having grandkids in and out the house all day. It's all right. It's good. I'm one of these that I can turn the TV on with a baseball game or a show on, and I can study. That's how I always studied with music and stuff on. So anything going on doesn't really faze me, except 3 grandkids. It's all right. I love my grandkids. But by about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I had to go to town. And I'm kind of like, I'm driving. I hadn't even got out of our driveway very far. And the Holy Spirit says, aren't you going to practice what you're preaching? And I went, oh! I started praising God going down that road, and I was fine. I had access to the Lord. Amen. And I used that praise to get me out of that other stuff that was over here that was trying to distract me, was trying to be chaos. In my mind, it probably wasn't chaos, but it sure seemed like it at the time. Because I'm working on time. I'm like, man, I know I got to do this. And everything's just going crazy. But the Holy Spirit's so good when we listen and we receive. What would have happened if I'd have just went, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. I'm not doing that. I'd still been grippy, y'all. But I did what the Holy Spirit said. I started praising God and thanking God, and that stuff started coming off of me. You know, it's kind of like washing mud off of you after you've been outside dancing in the rain. It's great. But when you start washing that junk off, when you start praising the Lord, that stuff starts falling off of you. Man, we need that, y'all. We need that in this time. So the first thing we do is we have access. Number 2, We have healing and deliverance. You can turn there if you want to. This is Psalms 30 is where I'm going. I'm going to read it to you. Psalms 30, verse 1. I will extol thee and extol. That's another word. Extol. What does that mean? I think I know what it means, but I wasn't sure, so I looked it up in the Hebrew. It says to glorify, to honor, to declare how great God is. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Oh, well, he's protecting me. Verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Hallelujah. See, he's our healer. He's our deliverer. He'll get us out of that depression and out of that oppression if we call on him, if we praise him. And when you start praising God, everything else stops. But don't let that devil start going, you're not doing it right. Some of you know what I'm saying. Or, oh, that was sounded stupid. Or that sounded dumb. It's all beautiful to our Lord and Savior, y'all. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Some of ours are just more joyful than others. But it doesn't matter. To him, it's all the same. See, to human ears, stuff sounds weird and funny, but to God, it's all perfect. When we praise him, that's the perfect praise. When we're saying thank you and we're loving him, if we're not doing it to impress others and we're doing it from our heart, oh God, it just makes him, he'll love on you. He'll start, oh, and you can feel it. That pain that you have, that depression that you have, that hurting, whatever it is, when you start praising and praising and praising, man, you forget all about it. It's gone. It says right here, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Amen. Oh, our God is so good. Third thing, defeats the enemy. Now, I love this because when I was in school, I was in orchestra. And back in when I was growing up, being in orchestra was not cool. Thank you, Dad. He don't even like classical music, but I guess he got a kick out of me having to be in orchestra from the fifth grade till I graduated high school. I thank him for it. I got made fun of a lot. Called a lot of things. Go to 2 Chronicles if you want to. But when I got in the Word and I started reading this, and it defeats our enemy. I don't know what your enemy is today. But when you start praising, y'all listen here. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord our God, so ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Here, we've been talking about this all morning. Have y'all getting a hold of it? Yeah. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Amen. That should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He sent the band out without weapons. Let's read on. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were slaughtered. Listen to the rest. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir. Everyone helped to destroy one another. They killed each other. The band went out, sang and praised, and the Lord said, I got this. I got this. We need a lot of praising going on in our world today, y'all. We need a lot of praising going. It's what Rusty talked about. Only we just need to be praising and singing because God said, I got this. I got this. What's your enemy right now? What is your enemy? What's attacking you? Start praising your way out of it. You thank God. You get into Psalms. That's what David wrote about. He said, I'm going to praise you no matter how I feel. If I got an ingrown toenail and I got a bellyache, I'm still praising you, Lord. Because guess what? In a few minutes, it's going to be gone. Because my God defeats my enemies. Amen? Number four, focus. It takes the focus off of us. Psalms 150 says that if we praise him for his mighty acts, and we praise him according to his greatness, when we start praising him, it takes the focus off of our pity party. Whatever we're going through, as my dad says, and I quote him occasionally because he's a wise man, and I love some of his sayings. It gets us from wallowing in it, you know? Did y'all parents ever use, that's dad's word, you know? He said, are you upset? You can just wallow in it. You can either get happy or you can wallow in it. When we start praising God, we don't have to wallow in it. Amen? It gets rid of that self-pity. It gets the focus off of us and on the great one above us. Amen? Why don't we do that? Why don't we get focused, y'all? Get our focus off of us and the old, poor, pitiful me and get it on the one that gave us everything. He supplies all our needs, y'all. We got to do that. Number five, I'm getting close. Number five says, praise changes our mindset. When we begin to praise, it changes our relationships. It changes our heart. It takes the focus and shifts it from us to the Lord, from problem to solution, from pain to promise, from hurt to hope. Amen. When we learn that we praise our way out of anything, I'm telling you, it will change your life. But you can't do it once and go, it didn't work for me. That's not how God works. God says, I reward those who diligently seek me. Amen. Amen. That means we're doing it all the time. We're not doing it on Sundays and getting filled up with praise. And then Monday morning when the real world hits, it's down in the dumps again. We can't do that. Here's how we need to start praying. For me, Father, I praise you and love you no matter what the devil is doing to me. I know that you shall bring me through victoriously. Show me what I need to do, Lord. Show me any door I have opened to the enemy. I resist him in the name of Jesus, and I command him to leave with all his oppression and attacks. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, and I submit to you and will never deny you no matter what happens, in Jesus' name. See, we got to get a hold of that, and we can't be afraid to ask God, did I leave a door open? When things aren't lining up, did I leave something open? Amen? Band, if you would, y'all start making your way back. Please. Did I leave a door open? Did I do something to enable the enemy to have a foothold? Because if I did, show me, Lord, because I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what we need to start praying. We don't need to start praying, oh, pitiful me. Or, oh, woe is thou. Or, you know, well, the world is doing this, so I'm going to do it. No, 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 no. Not at all. Not at all. We have to learn to use the weapon in which our Lord and Savior gave us. First and foremost, the authority to use Jesus' name. Then we praise God for having the ability and the authority to use the name of Jesus. Amen? When anything comes against us, we praise Him for that authority that we can take in our lives. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to. I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to do it all day long. Come on up, Joni. You're good. You're good. There's a song that we do here at church. that a friend of mine wrote. I got the honor to know this man in Branson. He's a minister, the pastor. This was the number one song of the decade in the 90s. And he wrote it because he was had a back injury and had been given painkillers. And he was at the lowest point in his life, even as a minister. And he tells the story that he was on his knees in the house praying to God, and God gave him this song. So y'all listen, you know the song. But I want you need to listen and receive the words to this song.
When you're up against the wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. You'll just praise His name. Oh, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When it seems you're praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Thank you for it, Father. Just praise you. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. If you've never received Jesus, right where you're at, we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to say it out loud. But we're going to have believers say it with you. Because we need to get this in our hearts, y'all. We got to start leading people to the Lord, not just at church, wherever we're at. We got to lead people to the Lord. It's time. And if you've never received the Lord, I beg you and pray today that you will receive him. So out of your mouth, and believers, say it with us. We're going to say it like this. Father in heaven, I love you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died for me. And you rose from the dead. That I may praise you, Father. That you defeat my enemies. That you defeat my oppression and depression. And you've healed me, Father. Today is my God day. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before I say amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, out of respect, if you just said that prayer and you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to slip your hand up. I'll acknowledge you and put it right back down. We just want to get you a Bible. And there's a card in there to fill out and put in the offering so we know that. Because the Word says, Jesus says, do not be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you to the Father. So on the count of three, if that was you, be bold today and get that hand up. One, two, three. Anybody? And anybody. Be bold. All right. Amen. Y'all look here. Man, thank y'all for letting me minister.